Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
I want you to listen intently to me this morning because he was a child that was born in an obscure village. This is not an ordinary day. The child of a peasant woman, he grew up in an obscure village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, when public opinion had turned against him. He never wrote a book. He never held office. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from where he was born. He did none of these things that usually associate with greatness. And he had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 and his friends ran away, and one of them even denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed on a cross between two thieves. While dying, his executioners gambled for his garments, the only property he had left on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed tomb through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today Jesus is the central human figure of all of history and the leaders of all kinds of mankind's progress. All of the armies that have ever marched, and all of the navies that have ever sailed, and all of the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned put together, have not affected life of mankind on earth as powerful as this single solitary life. This is not an ordinary day. As a matter of fact, today Lutherans are more likely to be in church than Pentecostals, which I found very interesting. Within the last 30 days, we've spent over $3.19 trillion. How many of you felt like you've spent that all by yourself? Can I see your hands? We've employed 750,000 people. We've spent $94.7 trillion online, or billion dollars online. We have averaged $752 spending for each person, each family member. We've spent $29.14 million on Christmas cards and over $1.32 billion on Christmas trees. The first Christmas tree, talking about statistics, was actually that was artificial, was made by goose feathers in Germany. Today we sing the 12 days of Christmas, which is actually 365 gifts for one person. When we talk about the true love of the turtle dove, it's actually a code for early Christians and how they taught their children catechism and the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, the partridge in a pear tree is Jesus. Two turtle doves represents the Old and the New Testament. People do not break up with each other on Christmas. The most likely day for your boyfriend to break up with you is 2 weeks before Christmas. Yeah, that's true. We celebrate Christmas with green and red and gold because it represents the symbol of life and the rebirth of life, and the green and the red of the blood of Jesus and the gold of the wealth and the royalty of him being a king. We do it where the world's largest stocking is 106 feet 9 inches tall and takes an average of 15 years to grow a real Christmas tree. But in the midst of all of these, Santa Claus has been to our house last night. How many of you have sent or visited your house? Going to see your hands. Well, let me tell you what that poor soul had to go through. According to the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, there are 2,106 million children under the age of 18 in the world. And if there is an average of 2.5 children per household, Santa would have had to have made 842 million stops on Christmas Eve, traveling 221 miles per hour. I love Santa. To reach all 842 stops, Santa would have to have traveled between houses in 2 10,000ths of a second, which means he would need to accelerate when he moves from your house to another house of 12.9 million miles, which is 20.5 billion meters per second at each stop. And thanks to the miracle of Jesus Christ, Santa made it alive because math is not working in his favor. Give God a hand clap of praise if you don't mind. My point is this morning is there has never been a single solitary life to affect the world like the one that was born today that we celebrate. He revolutionized life when abortion was common and people would actually kill little children and thought nothing of them, especially if they were girls. It was his influence that stopped the sacrifice of children and stopped the immortality rate of children, who half of which died by the age of 8. It was his birth that stopped the gladiators of 300 years of torturing human beings. It was his birth that rescued children from poverty, and his birth that established that life and all of life is sacred. It was his birth that said, the Galatians says there's neither male nor female, that elevated women past property. It was his birth that stopped the abandonment of little girls. It was his birth that stopped infanticide, and his birth that nullified polygamy, and his birth that established monogamy, and his birth that protected widows. And it was his birth that was the actual turning point for women. It was his birth, like Philemon 16 says, we're no longer a slave, but we're a friend. It was his birth where 2/3 of the abolitionists were ministers, and he established and influenced, his birth established and influenced the abolishment of slavery. It was his birth, ladies and gentlemen, when he said, if I was sick and you looked after me, that he established charity amongst this world. I didn't say amongst the United States, I said amongst this world. It was his birth that brought the care of widows. It was his birth that made list of people who were in need. It was his birth that kept the orphans. It was his birth that established mental hospitals. It was his birth that took and educated the blind and the elderly and gave them a place to live. It was his birth that created the hospitals. It was his birth that created the volunteerism. It was his birth that educates our children around the world. It was his birth that was the first to influence the teaching of women. It was his birth that brought education to the masses. It was his birth that caused taxes to be used for public education. It was his birth that established the public school system. It was his birth from his son, whose dad was a pastor, that established kindergarten. It was his birth that pioneered education to the blind. It was his birth, and that's what we celebrate today, to establish the first universities around the world. It was his birth that influenced the inventing of the printing press. It was his birth that established laws. It was his birth that affected the Constitution of the United States. It was his birth that caused all of us to be able to say, and to whom the Son is set free, they're free indeed. It was his birth that caused the science to unveil. Listen, scientists or creationists are not scientists. Creationists, people who believe that God created the heavens and the earth, are the inventors of science. And it was his birth that influenced Kepler. It was his birth that influenced the telescope. It was his birth that discovered the comets. It was his birth that discovers the laws of gravity. It was his birth that helped us to define oxygen and microbiology. Ladies and gentlemen, his birth has affected science. It has affected women. It has affected education. It has affected slavery. It has affected art. It has affected architect, opera, Bach, Beethoven, the father of accounting, the free roots of enterprise, Protestant work ethic, hard works, frugality, sex protected by marriage, the rejection of pedophilia, and the dignity of the marriage bed. Our Lord and our Savior came this day, and he affected every single social institution that affects man. And that is why the angel said, I got good news for you. It is going to bring you mega joy. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise in here. Deuteronomy says we've got to teach it to our children. And so I want you to go on a little journey quick with me. And you can read Luke chapter 1, where it says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And all this makes me want to shout on Christmas. And his kingdom will have no end. No one has ever affected the earth. No one has ever been able to establish its own set of music for its birthday of its God. No one has ever created anything with the power of the birth of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we need to teach our children the meaning of Christmas. Deuteronomy 11 and 19 says so. Now we all hear the rebuttal that Christmas, December the 25th, is rooted in the worship of the sun. Pastor, is that true? Absolutely, it's true. The pagans of Rome used to use December the 25th to worship the sun that sits in the sky. And as a matter of fact, the earliest Christians, and I'm talking the first 300 years, didn't celebrate Christmas because it was the pagans that celebrated the birthday of their gods. But all of a sudden, December the 23rd became the pagan holiday to where they celebrated the sun god. And January the 1st became the Roman holiday to celebrate the new year. And on December the 25th, pagans celebrated the birth of the sun, S-U-N. But by 336, the church started getting involved and said, we need to establish this because this is no ordinary day here. And they begin to establish the birthday of Jesus on December the 25th in 336 A.D. And it has affected all of us. We walk past symbols like this one's. You kids tell me what I'm holding in my hand. Do you know how it was invented? It was invented when a choir master, a Pastor Jeremy, 1,800 years ago, wanted to keep children quiet while they watched the nativity production. Amen. Anybody feel the Holy Ghost this morning? And the choir master kids would take the candy cane and he created it to look like a shepherd's hook. And he would give it to children so they could suck on it and eat candy while they watched the nativity play, the passion or the birth of Jesus Christ. Anybody ever liked the lights on the Christmas tree? How many of you have lights on your Christmas tree? Let me see it. The lights on the Christmas tree have a long history because the very first lights were candle. Actually, Martin Luther was leaving his Christmas mass and he looked up into the stars and he thought about the Star of Bethlehem. And he said, we need to make sure that the lights are represented during Christmas because Jesus, after all, is the light of the world. And so he put the first candles on the Christmas tree. He kind of had trouble because the wax would fall off of it. And then the Germans created what was called a hoop of fire. And they used to take hoops and put it up and down your Christmas tree and then set candles on it, kids. But it all represents that Jesus Christ is the light of the world and this is no ordinary birthday. Can I get an amen? You have to realize that the Christmas parades that kick off Christmas. How many of you love to watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Christmas parade? Christmas parades actually go back to honor the nativity. Actually, the original Christmas parade, where we get the concept of Christmas parade, was called the Feast of the Ass, talking about a donkey. And the kids and the priest would get behind the donkey where Mary would sit on it, and they would have a parade in the streets, and they would take the donkey all the way into the church building to right here, and they would celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ by honoring the donkey. That is the origin of the Christmas parades. Actually, it was the honor also used to spotlight the fact that Mary and Joseph had to pick up quickly, put the baby on a donkey, and travel to Egypt very quickly. They used to say that influenced what we know as mumming. Everybody say mumming. Mumming is actually what we would say today as we're going to go Christmas caroling. Kids and priests and moms and dads would get behind the donkeys and they would mummy. They would mumble. They would sing. They would dress up like characters and march up and down the streets. His birthday affects the Christmas parade. Because it is about him, it's not about the gifts you got, it's about the gift that God gave all of you when he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Someone say amen. When you look at holly and ivy, which is really interesting, it's actually a pagan symbol that was banned from the church in the first 300 to 500 years. You were not allowed to use ivy to decorate in the church because it was a pagan symbol of rebirth and eternal life. The Christians got a hold of it before the Middle Ages, and they began to say that there was, and the pagans said that one represents a male, one represents a female. Holly represents masculinity, ivy represents femininity. And the Christian church got involved, and they started saying, you know, these are prickly thorns. So when you see ivy, kids, you ever notice how it pricks your finger? Huh? You ever notice how it's evergreen? It means that Jesus never dies. And if you love him as your Savior, you're never going to die. It actually, the red berries represents the blood of Jesus Christ. It became to be known as the plant of the Virgin Mary's love for God. And so when we see ivy, we see the cross. And when we see ivy, we see the thorns on the cross. And we see ivy and holly, we see the berries that represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise if you don't mind. You know, for a long time, anybody ever kissed anyone under a mistletoe? Mistletoe was rejected in the early church for a long time, but eventually the church used it because it's an evergreen. It represents eternity and eternal life. And at the 12 days of Christmas, they would lay the mistletoe, a kiss upon God, right on the altar on December the 25th. How many of you know this guy right here? Who is this? Do you know what his first job was?
Yeah.
What?
It was a painter.
No, he was not a painter. I have taught you the right answer just so all these people know. No, he was not a chimney sweeper. No, that's not it either. Glad you listened that day, Aiden. Ella, what was his first job? He was a pastor. He was a pastor of outside Turkey. And kids, listen to this. He didn't live at the North Pole in the beginning. He lived by a beach. How many of you like Santa Claus more now? Let me see heads. He was so passionate about the Word of God that he was a pastor over many, many other pastors. Actually, he was at the Council of Nicaea. How many of you have ever heard of the Nicene Creed? Can I see hands? He helped write it. And he was a giver of gifts to poor children. And the reason that we have these things is because the Christmas presents were placed not under that, for thousands of years. It wasn't until late that we began to place the gifts underneath the tree. And so this guy loved God so much that he actually got into an argument at the Council of Nicaea over whether Jesus was God or not. And do you know where Santa Claus fell on the question, is Jesus God? Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas, how many of you have heard him called Kris Kringle? Can I see hands? You know what that means? It's German for Christ child. So St. Nicholas got so mad when someone said that Jesus wasn't God and this other guy was a preacher that he got in an argument with him and defended the fact that he believed that Jesus was God. And this is where Santa Claus's origins come from. Somebody give St. Nicholas a hand clap because he's the most celebrated saint outside of a biblical saint. How many of you have ever had one of these, a wreath? It's evergreen, and it represents the fact that Jesus never dies. But do you know where it comes from? It came from the fact that Christian families would put a wreath up as a secret code to say that we in our house have been born again. And so when you walked into a person's home early on in the beginning of Christianity and you saw the wreath, you knew secretly that they had been saved. How many of you are glad that your family serves the Lord this morning? Say amen. Well, bells started because they introduced the ringing of Christmas and the celebration of the nativity scene. Bells were used by Roman pagans to say there's an announcement coming. So they used bells in the early church at Christmas to say, Jesus Christ has been born today. And they announced his coming. There's all kinds of things that you could think about. The poinsettia is a legend from a little Mexican girl who was said to have laid the flower at the birth of Jesus in the manger. And then when she did, it burst into beautiful reds. But as I close, Jeremy, come on up and help me. I want you kids to listen carefully to me. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. It is not just an ordinary day. So when you go home and you look at the presents that you opened this morning, I want you to notice the tree is what color? It's green. What kind of tree is it? It's an evergreen, which means that if you ask Jesus to live in your heart, you'll live forever. There are lights on your Christmas tree, and you know what that represents? That Jesus is the world. The very first Christmas ornament, someone tell me what it was. Good job, Aiden. It was an apple representing the fruits of the Spirit. Someone tell me what the second ornament ever placed on a Christmas tree was. A communion wafer. It's what you take when you take communion. You take, remember, we take a piece of bread and it represents the broken body of Jesus Christ. We take the wine and it represents the blood of Jesus. Well, communion wafers in old churches were really big, and that was the second Christmas ornament, because when you looked at your Christmas tree, you were reminded that Christmas isn't about how many presents you got. Christmas is about how you got the most important present 2,000 years ago, and that Jesus offered himself up to you. The third Christmas ornament is interesting, was actually a cherry representing the Virgin Mary. And then from there, they started making cookies out of bells and out of Bethlehem stars. And the very first Christmas ornaments were bells and stars and wise men and shepherds, representing the ones that came to the Christmas story. What shape is the Christmas tree? It's a triangle. And let me tell you why. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It tells us that God is three persons in one, and he's ever living. So when you look at the Christmas tree, when Boniface, or late thousands of years ago, first began to use the Christmas tree in Christian traditions, he used it because this is an evergreen representing the everlasting love of Jesus Christ. He placed fruit on it because we want to have fruit of the Spirit. He placed lights on it because Jesus is the light of the world. He put it as a fir because it is always lives in cold weather or warm weather and never dies. And it was the shape of a Trinitarian triangle, which represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's how you got your Christmas tree. And as a close, actually the early church, even before Boniface, St. Boniface, would put the Christmas tree in their house, because someone tell me where there's two trees in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So a tree reminds you during Christmas you have a choice to live for God or not to live for God. How many of you in this room want to live for God this Christmas? Because this is not just an ordinary day. You know, ornaments and poinsettias and nativities and the nativity that we celebrate today goes all the way back to 300. And then St. Francis of Assisi made it into a play. But ever since the beginning of Christmas, we've celebrated the nativity, the birth of Jesus. But do you know what part of the nativity was first celebrated by the church? The crib. There were 3 days of celebration in the early church, and the third day was the day of the crib. I'm glad that God confuses the education of the wise and profounds those that are wise on this earth with a baby in a manger. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, this is not an ordinary day. All of this from the birth of one child. So, therefore, as we leave, we're given charge in the 21st century to teach our children the meaning of our symbols. We're given charge to become keepers of Christmas in a world that wants to take Christ out of Christmas. There is life after Christmas. And we're in charge of keeping the lights on in this world all year round. So therefore, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.